From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made last week in the New York Times when the co-founder of Facebook wrote an op-ed calling on the federal government to essentially break the company up. Chris Hughes was not just the co-founder of Facebook, he was Mark Zuckerberg's college roommate. He believes Facebook has become so powerful that it is anti-competitive to the point of being un-American. Hughes wrote, quote, "Facebook isn't afraid of a few more rules. It's afraid of an antitrust case and the kind of accountability that real government oversight would bring," end quote. In the Times op-ed, Hughes makes the case that Facebook has devised a number of ways to lock out competition, whether by acquiring potential rivals, copying them, or blocking them. And if you're thinking, wait, isn't that just good competitive planning on Facebook's part? Here's how Hughes describes Facebook as an anti-competitive mammoth. Quote, "Would-be competitors can't raise the money to take on Facebook. Investors realize that if a company gets traction, Facebook will copy its innovations, shut it down, or acquire it for a relatively modest sum. So despite an extended economic expansion, increasing interest in high-tech startups, an expansion of venture capital, and growing public distaste for Facebook, no major social networking company has been founded since the fall of 2011. End quote. The Federal Trade Commission's approval of Facebook's acquisition of Instagram and WhatsApp has been maligned. Hughes calls it the FTC's biggest mistake. He argues that Facebook should immediately be forced to spin them off into two separate independent entities. And it turns out that one of the presidential contenders has already put together a detailed plan to do just that, not just with Facebook, but with other tech giants that tend to gobble up their smaller competitors like Amazon. To be fair, Democrats in the presidential space, and there are more than 20 now, have been split on this. But some contenders have been more specific about what they want to do about it. And I'll just take one example. Senator Elizabeth Warren says this is about creating a country that doesn't allow one person to be worth tens of billions of dollars while 40% of Americans can't come up with $400 to pay an emergency bill. She believes breaking up the most powerful tech companies is about protecting competition because right now, Senator Warren says the economy is rigged in favor of the biggest companies who don't want actual competition. And if there's real competition, Senator Warren believes more Americans will find work and better wages. But opponents of breaking up big companies point to an article written in 2007 in The Guardian. The title of that article was, "Will MySpace Ever Lose Its Monopoly?" The author quoted John Barrett of Tech News World, who said that MySpace, at the time, was well on the way to becoming what economists call a natural monopoly. He added that MySpace users had invested so much social capital in putting up data about themselves, wasn't even worth changing sites. What about Blockbuster in the past, the company that dominated video rentals? Should it have been busted up at the height of its powers? Was it anti-competitive too? Well, this hour, a conversation about the concentration of economic power and what should or should not be done about it. Our guests in studio include a former principal engineer for Amazon, Nicholas Wilt, back with us. Thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Karen Vitale, who is the co-founder of the Rochester Democratic Socialists of America, now just a member. Nice to have you.
Thank
you.
Still a co-founder, but thank you.
Still a co-founder and a member. Thank you. And Kevin Wilson is the chair of the Monroe County Libertarian Party. Kevin, welcome to you. Thanks for being here.
Yep, good to be back.
All right, so I want to start just by listening to what Senator Elizabeth Warren said recently. I could have pulled up one of her many interviews on NPR, for example, but I think this exchange that she had on CBS's Face the Nation explains some of what even journalists might find, where they might find pause with the idea of the government breaking up companies. So the first one, yeah, the longer clip here. Let's go ahead and listen. This is Elizabeth Warren talking recently about breaking up big tech when she was on CBS's Face the Nation.
The giant tech companies right now are eating up little tiny businesses, startups, and competing unfairly. Look at it this way. Someone like Amazon runs a platform, you know, the place where you buy your coffee maker and get it delivered in 48 hours. And that's great. But in addition to that, they're sucking up all that information about every purchase, every sale, and every one of the other little businesses that are offering their products on Amazon. And when Amazon sees one that's profitable, they say, think we'll go into business against them now that they've got all this extra information. And they put their own business out there to compete on selling coffee makers, put themselves on page one, put the competitor back on page six, and the competitor's business is just gone. So what I'm saying is we got to break these guys apart. You want to run a platform? That's fine. You don't get to run a whole bunch of the businesses as well. You want to run a business? That's fine. You don't get to run the platform. Think of it this way. It's like in baseball. You can be the umpire or you can own one of the teams, but you don't get to be the umpire and own the teams.
And let me just get this clear. If you had your way, Facebook would have to sell off Instagram. Mm-hmm. Amazon would have to sell off Whole Foods.
All those little businesses that they're running, competing businesses. Yep.
Who is the federal government to tell these companies they have to do that?
There's antitrust law that's been around for more than 100 years. And the federal government has done this many times. For example, broke up Standard Oil.
All right, so that's Senator Elizabeth Warren talking to CBS's Face the Nation. And Nicholas Wilt is a former principal engineer for Amazon. Do you agree with the senator when she says Amazon does not want actual competition?
Well, it's complicated. And I should say also, I was at Microsoft during the height of the antitrust trial that was litigated against them a little over 20 years ago. So any business will declare that their job is to maximize profits, and Amazon is more expansive in its aspirations than most. So I guess they would flip the argument and say, well, we're just trying to serve customers, and we're just trying to win as much business as possible.
Okay, but do you think that they're interested in a level playing field?
You know, no earnest capitalist is interested in a level playing field. You know, when you're pursuing hiring practices, you're trying to build the best team possible. When you're developing business practices, you're trying to develop the best business practices possible. I think anyone participating in a profit-seeking enterprise would be dishonest if they said they wanted competition. But we can also intellectualize and say that competition is healthy.
Okay. Karen, when it comes to the notion of breaking up big tech or breaking up big companies, mm-hmm. This is a conversation about economic concentration. Where do you come down on this? Where does DSA come down on this, and why?
Well, I can't speak broadly for a national organization that's grown, I don't know, 10 or 12% in the last 3 years. But what I can say is that on this one, I'm going to have to disagree with Elizabeth Warren, because I think that Facebook and Amazon should be nationalized.
Okay, tell me more about that.
Well, I think I like what Nick said. I like, Nick, that you said any business would declare that its job is to maximize profit. And I think that we have to take businesses at their word. You've had guests on the show in the past who said people are only motivated by profit. I take that person at their word that they are only motivated by profit. I think that's a dangerous idea. That is not a healthcare pharmaceutical company saying we're in business to make people healthy. Any business will say that they're there to maximize profits. And I suspect that with the guests that we have on the show today, we're going to talk a lot about innovation and competition and what's necessary to innovate. And I will just put out there from the get-go, what if innovation is not profitable? Does that mean innovation stops in this late capitalist system?
Okay, fair enough. So I think the difference between where Karen sits and with your DSA background and Elizabeth Warren, and later this hour, you'll hear Elizabeth Warren defending why she considers herself a capitalist. But what she's saying is, you've got to regulate this. But we do believe that capitalism can still work with proper regulation, with referees on the field. And right now she thinks there's no referees on the field. Things are running roughshod. You have a problem with the system itself, I think.
I do.
Okay.
I'm pro Elizabeth Warren. I'm glad that she's having these conversations. And I agree that we need regulations in place. Obviously, I'm not happy with lobbyists pushing so much of their agenda in Congress,
yeah.
And I want oversight of large corporations, as she has suggested. I'm just hoping to expand people's imaginations to a place that says, if we're talking about a lot of what we're talking about with Facebook and Amazon in particular, are consumers and what's best for. Some people talk about what's best for consumers. What Nick has just suggested is that businesses talk about what's best for shareholders. I think it's an important distinction. But I also want to put on the table today that most people, and a growing number of people in this country in particular, are not consumers. They're priced out of being consumers. They are living on the edge. They're in poverty. And their rights as people cannot be tied to their consumerism. We've got a whole growing flight from the middle class to the lower class because of debt. People who are in debt are not merely consumers. So I want to put that on the table for discussion today.
And one more point before I turn to Kevin on this. When you say you'd rather see, for example, Facebook and Amazon nationalize.
Sure.
Let me go ahead and read a little bit from the actual specifics of what an Elizabeth Warren plan would do regarding the breakup of big tech. She writes in a recent post from Medium, quote, "First, my administration would pass legislation that requires large tech platforms to be designated as platform utilities and broken apart from any participant on that platform. Companies with an annual global revenue of $25 billion or more and that offer to the public an online marketplace, an exchange, or a platform connecting third parties would be designated as platform utilities. These companies would be prohibited from owning both the platform utility and any participants on that platform. Platform utilities would be required to meet a standard of fair, reasonable, and non-discriminatory dealing with users, and platform utilities would not be allowed to transfer or share data with third parties." And for example, she points at Amazon, Whole Foods, Zappos. Amazon can't own Whole Foods and Zappos under this kind of plan. Facebook can't own WhatsApp and Instagram under this kind of a plan. Google can't own Nest, DoubleClick, and under this kind of a plan. Creating sort of platform utilities, not the same as nationalizing, doesn't go far enough for you?
It won't. I mean, let's do it and see. And then we'll come back in we have another monopoly that we need to break up.
Okay.
It's basically wash, rinse, and repeat.
It's interesting. In the CBS interview, she said that. She said this is a case where if we do it this way, we have to be vigilant. And every maybe 10, 15, 20 years, you're going to need government stepping in certain sectors and breaking up. But she said that's part of capitalism if it's well-regulated. You don't think so?
Well, I do think that is a description of well-regulated capitalism.
Okay. It sounds like you're skeptical about whether
it's bringing people to a life that they deserve, free of want. That's another question.
Okay. Kevin, how do you view this question on breakups in general and whether the government should have a role here?
They shouldn't. That answer.
Well, your answer is so much shorter. Libertarians are so much more succinct.
Trying to be concise here.
I know. Mine was two words.
I know.
I always appreciate whenever I'm on with a DSA member how colorful they keep the conversation. And we brought it to a new place. But here's kind of my general take on this is that the government shouldn't do this, and is a particularly bad regulator of these types of things. They're very bad at predicting what's going to happen and how things are going to shift. Now, you know, I'm glad you read that thing in the beginning that said, like, there was articles back in 2006, 2007 that said, will MySpace ever lose its monopoly? And I think the same thing will happen to Facebook, will happen to Amazon, Google, that priority shifts as technology changes, as consumer needs and wants and desires shift. It's not so much that they'll lose their role in that space. It's just that people move on to something else because society has moved on. And so, again, with something like Amazon, I think that them having the ability to be able to sell their own products on their platform benefits consumers. And I'll give a specific example is I love buying those little Amazon Basics phone chargers. Before those came out, you had to either go to the OEM and buy a phone charger from them, which was obnoxiously expensive, or you had to go and buy one from probably a sketchy Chinese producer overseas. You weren't sure if it was going to work or if it was going to fry your phone. The Amazon Basics are inexpensive. They work. I think they're great, and I think that's a good thing. And why on earth would I want the federal government to come in and stop me from being able to buy a product that benefits me and benefits Amazon? I don't care if it benefits Amazon. I'm able to get that benefit from it.
Okay, and so to kind of to follow that point there, you have Senator Warren, among others, who favor this kind of a plan, acknowledging your point that you're right. At one point, MySpace would have been in that conversation. Maybe Blockbuster. I think you'd mentioned a few others in previous conversations.
Big companies. Blockbuster. Walmart was also considered to be dominating the retail sales for a while, and now they have competition from Amazon. It's the next step in the process, and now Walmart has to innovate to be able to keep up with consumer demands as well.
I think the argument, though, is that if the only thing that can dislodge Facebook is a different behemoth, that you don't have a marketplace in which innovation and startups and entrepreneurs really have the space to maneuver because they get crushed or bought out.
I don't think that's true. I think that Facebook is starting to lose users right now. A lot of people are frustrated with privacy concerns. They're frustrated with advertisers. I'm sorry, guys. I am an advertiser, so that's what I do for a living. They're frustrated with what they perceive as censorship on Facebook. So Facebook's starting to lose users. The reason why they're asking to be regulated now is because if they get regulated, they're going to be solidified in the market. It will be much harder for competitors to come up and offer something else. So the best way to ensure that Facebook has a long-term monopoly on this particular area is by getting the government involved.
All right. So lastly, before I turn back to Nicholas here, because I'm very curious to just ask Nicholas whether he favors the kind of breakup plan that we see here. But Kevin, when you talk about the government being a sort of a bad predictor in the marketplace, I'm trying to at least understand what supporters of an Elizabeth Warren plan would say, which is that this isn't a case of the government predicting the future. This is a case of the government responding to current conditions and setting thresholds. That's why she's not saying, hey, if a company is growing, we want to stop you from growing. She's saying, if you get to $25 billion, you effectively become like a utility, we're going to treat you as such. So it's not about predicting the future. It's about responding to current conditions that might stifle competition. What do you say?
Well, I think that it's both unnecessary. I think it's unjust. And I think it'll make services worse. Again, and I think it will lock people and it will lock companies in place in that particular market, because again, it'll be harder for other companies to be able to make that threshold because Facebook will be solidified. And even worse, if it becomes nationalized, then gosh, you have the full force of the federal government backing it. No, it's not. And we'll stick to Elizabeth Warren's plan. I get it.
No, I'm sure Karen's going to want to respond to the nationalization.
I could see you looking at me.
No, but it's okay. Okay, so there's Kevin's concerns. Nicholas, what do you want to see happen here? Would you support the Elizabeth Warren plan?
You know, the platform frame is the most innovative, interesting thing I've seen in this discussion because it can be applied to these different companies. The consolidation didn't happen by accident. You know, it's in social networking, the value, actually in any network, this is true of cell phone companies as well, the value increases as the square of the number of users. So it's natural for something like, for a natural monopoly to develop in the context of Facebook. And Warren has identified to me what is to me a very interesting, I'm not going to say, oh yes, her plan is perfect. I'm not sure annual revenue is the right metric, but I think she's really onto something in terms of evolving the conversation. You know, we're in this strange world where it's completely natural to have government entities regulating individual behavior. You know, we don't go and shoplift, and we don't gas up our car and then just drive away and expect the gas station to chase you down. There are laws that govern our behavior, but as a people, we've really come to this place where we have an incredibly permissive disposition toward how corporations should behave, and that's interesting to me. It shouldn't be unnatural for us to be talking about whether companies should be doing what they're doing. The Amazon Basics example is very interesting because Amazon can weaponize all of the data that they have, and they can, to an incredibly accurate degree, identify exactly how much money they could make if they disintermediated a vendor. And so Warren isn't saying you wouldn't be able to go and search, and this is one of the great things about search is you have less of that problem where you need the exactly right part number. You know, I just replaced the lint filter on my dryer, and believe me, that was a much easier problem to solve today than it would have been 20 years ago because it just came in a box and I opened it up and swapped it out and that was that. But that plug-and-play user experience for the consumer would not be eliminated by Elizabeth Warren's proposal. You know, what it would eliminate is for them to just step in. This is amazing. The batteries you buy on Amazon, 30% of them are basics. And they can also steer search results. If they were steering search results with a dispassionate algorithm that didn't really have any stake in which product you clicked through, then I think the overall experience would be better. So, but the she's also alluded to the concentration of wealth, which I think is important, and that's been getting hit upon from a couple different angles. You know, she has also a wealth tax where she just wants to take money from people who have enormous amounts of money. And as a people, we also have, you know, we've just subscribed to these ideas that there is no limit to the amount of wealth that someone should be able to have. But what we can see that the wealth turns into power, and the power might be better distributed. You know, a German billionaire wrote an op-ed, this is a while ago now, I think in 2010, where he just said, look, we should not be, in the context of that, he was talking about the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, mm-hmm. and essentially saying, we should not be leaning on charitable organizations to do the work of government. And I think that is part of the landscape that Elizabeth Warren is navigating as she drives this conversation.
Yeah, on that subject of charitable contributions, government versus individuals, not just relying on individuals, people like Anand Giridharadas are writing a lot about the fact that it's not effective as a society to rely on wealthy individuals. That is sort of a side conversation, but an interesting one, because some of the people involved here, Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos, have been Bill Gates.
They're the same people.
Yeah. It's a small group of very wealthy people.
Right.
I want to ask Karen Vitale how you view, before I take some phone calls, because we've got a lot of feedback already on this. You know, when you talk about the concentration of wealth, not just power, and I know that you view them as sort of inextricably linked here, but when it comes to the concentration of power, the fact that you've got Amazon, Facebook, Google, these massive companies, and you do have a lot of, 40% of Americans say they can't come up with $400 in an emergency tomorrow. Do you view the concentration of economic power, whether it's in tech or other industries, as bad for workers?
Of course.
Okay, explain.
So as I sit here thinking about Amazon, and having been on the show talking about Amazon before, we can have a really narrow discussion about what is a level playing field in capitalism. I would say it's never been level. The history of capitalism is that it started out being built on slavery. Everybody That's is not always true. Going to try to get an advantage. And over another human being. And that's the nature of the beast. Let me try to remember the question you asked me. Do I find it hard for workers? Yes. It's hard for the environment. It's hard for workers. They're not paying living wages. They can do that because people are desperate and have nowhere else to go. I know that Kevin believes that somebody could go in as an individual and negotiate their worth with the CEO. I'll tell you right now, they're not going to be allowed to. And that unless people are allowed to collectivize, there is no level playing field in that regard. Yes, you can literally put the words together in a sentence to say, I have a choice of whether to take this job or not. I'll tell you something, when you're starving, you don't have a choice. So I think that it is very impactful to have concentrated wealth in this country. It is literally built off the backs of regular people. We find real estate developers in the Rochester area are cheating the system. Claiming on their insurance claims that their repairs cost way more than they really cost in the millions of dollars. It's play money for the wealthy. We're basically saying that we will support the accumulation of whatever amount of hobby money wealthy people want to have in their life. And I disagree with it. It's inhumane. It's the Gilded Age already, all over again. We've already gone through this many times. I don't think that we should be empowering these folks. And I just want to read something that Robert Reich had in The Guardian this week, where he quoted arch-conservative Missouri Republican Josh Hawley, who said, is there really any wonder that there is increased pressure for antitrust enforcement activity, for private activity when these companies behave in the way they do? Every day brings some creepy new revelation about these companies' behaviors. Of course the public is going to want to be there, want there to be action to defend their rights. It's only natural. That's an arch-conservative Republican who says that. So I think that we're all on the same page here. Go ahead, Kevin. I want you to defend the profit mongers.
Yes, you know I'm chomping at the bit to answer that. Because, you know, you're right. The conservative populists who love big government as well would love to regulate these massive tech companies because they, too, are worried about individual freedom. They get nervous about it. And it's funny, I was listening to Glenn Beck on the way in.
It's funny, he didn't say freedom. He said...
Can I finish?
He said rights.
Yeah, rights. Yeah, no, well... It's funny because I was listening to Glenn Beck on the way in, and he was talking about the same thing. He's like, oh, I'm so worried about Facebook. They can just advertise to me, and they know what products I want to connect with. And to me, I was like, why is that a bad thing that I'm able to find stuff that I want? Capitalism isn't built on greed. It's built on providing value for others. If a company is providing a product that's valuable to me, then I'm going to want to buy it. And capitalism has helped reduce global poverty by leaps and bounds. We are a much, much, much better world today than we are even 30 years ago, especially since a lot of the socialist countries converted to a more capitalist system following the Soviet Union. Why on earth?
My dad's diabetes medication says that we're not better off than we were 30 years ago. The cost of his diabetes medication says that we're not better off than
we were 30 years ago. The government grants monopoly to insulin production. Yes, I know. It's a problem. We should get the government out of that. But I guess one of the other things I want to ask, kind of a follow-up to this gentleman here, is if Amazon shouldn't be able to provide a platform for the products that it sells, should it also be illegal for companies like Walmart to not sell the great value products? Right? Is that something that should be banned as well? Doesn't that help the consumer to have that cheaper, no-name product on the shelves?
So I don't think anything Warren has said would prohibit new players from investing, and actually established players invest. You know, when I was at Microsoft, they spent $30 billion over 10 years trying and failing to come after Adobe and Macromedia, who I think Adobe wound up buying Macromedia, but they very much wanted to be in the multimedia technology business. And they also bootstrapped the Xbox. But what I think you needn't rule out is the idea that once one of those spinoffs gets big enough, you know, it would not be catastrophic to go ahead and divest. You know, honestly, had Judge Penfield Jackson gotten his way and split Microsoft between Office and Windows, which is kind of exactly the cleavage point that Elizabeth Warren is talking about with a platform versus stuff that's offered on the platform, I think those would both be huge, thriving businesses, probably more innovative, and, you know, I think consumers would have been at least as well served as they did.
That's an interesting point. And so before we get our only break of the hour, we're going to come back, take your phone calls. Hang there if you're on the line, because we want to hear from listeners on this. Kevin, you are sort of stressing where you see the benefits, for example, of Amazon and the work that they've done for you as a consumer, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What Nicholas is offering is this idea that if this happens this way, if the Warren plan gets carried out and we see Facebook have to sell off, spin off WhatsApp, Instagram, Amazon has to spin off Whole Foods, Zappos, Google can't gobble up DoubleClick and other entities. What he's offering is that may be a good thing. What's the harm that you see? What's the potential harm that you see?
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of interesting things about economics is I'm sure that I'm probably the only one in here who's read Hazlitt, Economics in One Lesson, who's read Bastiat. Have you read it? I hope you have. If you haven't, you should. There's this thing about economics called the seen and the unseen, right? Like we don't know what kind of the alternative universe is if an action isn't taken, right? So that's one problem with the breakups. We don't really know, nor does government know, what the future lies in terms of breaking up these companies and what the larger economic consequences are of putting their hands into this system. So the other thing, too, is with the breakup of these services, like, again, I don't think that consumers benefit. I don't think that the companies benefit. And I think that it makes things more frustrating and inconvenient for people, right? Like, I'm a digital advertiser, and I like the fact that I can easily advertise across Facebook and Instagram. I think that's good for me. I don't think it harms me as a consumer to have my Instagram tied to my Facebook at all. I do have alternatives out there. I love using Twitter now. And then same with, like, search engines, too. I don't see why the government should get involved. If they had gotten involved in the late 90s when Yahoo was dominating the search market, could you imagine, like, what type of search engine system we have today? Now Google dominates 70% of the search market. market. Bing has about 30%, but there are other competitors out there. And Google may start losing more market share as people are concerned about their privacy. They may go to other things like DuckDuckGo, or they may latch on to Bing, which has some different interesting, you know, innovations that they're trying to introduce into both
the ad market. I think what Elizabeth Warren is saying is, if you're worried about your privacy with Facebook, which you say a lot of people are, what Warren is saying is, you might say as a consumer, I'm abandoning ship. I'm getting rid of Facebook.
Sure,
I'm going elsewhere. And Facebook sees you go elsewhere, and they gobble up the company where you are going to go. And that there is no actual outcome in which you as a consumer can have a refuge from a bad actor because of their power.
I don't necessarily think that's true. And again, it's we don't know exactly that that's going to happen, because there may be another competitor out there who's like, we absolutely do not want to get bought out by Facebook because we're trying to be the alternative to Facebook. We're trying to be the next Facebook, whatever that may be. And again, there are actual alternatives out there. B, it's not inevitable, as we learned from MySpace. And, you know, again, it's I don't think that getting the government involved in regulating that platform is going to loosen up any of the dominance of that market that they now have.
Nicholas?
Well, Microsoft, you know, didn't suffer any perceptible harm from the adverse result 20-something years ago that I see. You know, it. And I just wanted to point out that in the case of WhatsApp and some of the other Facebook acquisitions, it's more a case of some people sort of suffering buyer's remorse by proxy. You know, they're saying, well, Facebook should not have been allowed to just go ahead and make all of those acquisitions, and we would have a more interesting competitive landscape had that not happened. I think that's sort of the context of the Facebook in this.
All right. I want to get some listener feedback on this, because we've got some very interesting perspectives from our guests as we talk about the proposal, just one of the proposals that are out there to break up big tech here. Senator Elizabeth Warren says, we did it with Standard Oil, and we used to be a company that had a tradition of trust busting and making sure that economic dominance wasn't de rigueur in this country. Well, now she wants to do that with big tech. Karen Vitale is the co-founder of the Rochester Democratic Socialists of America and a member. Kevin Wilson, chair of the Monroe County Libertarian Party. Nicholas Wilt, a former principal engineer for Amazon. And we're going to get your feedback on the other side of this break. Coming up in our second hour, the Reshaping Rochester series is bringing in a Rochester native, Lynn Richards, who is the director of the Congress for New Urbanism. And she's going to be talking about how to create great places, not just great buildings or big projects, but great places. She's also had a lot of experience in government and thinks that under the Trump administration, urbanism could suffer. We're going to talk about why next hour. Welcome back to Connections. Let's get to your phone calls. John in Rochester first. Go ahead, John.
Hi, thank you. In my opinion, Senator Warren's call for the breakup of these high-tech companies is extremely troubling, very wrong-headed. You know, the turn of the century trust busting and, you know, what happened with AT&T, these were, you know, essential services to the country, the railroads, the sugar companies, oil, phone company. You know, if Americans didn't have an option to use the phone or to get oil, this was a problem. These companies are strictly consumer driven. If Facebook disappeared tomorrow, other than the, you know, tens of thousands of employees probably that would be affected, it really wouldn't matter that much. These are just choices that we're making with our particular time, with our money, with our services. You can do something. If you don't want to use Amazon, there's all sorts of alternatives out there for people. If you don't want to use Google, you can use other things. They don't need to be broken up. These are just choices that consumers are making. And if people didn't like Facebook, if they didn't like what they were doing with their privacy, if they didn't like what Amazon was doing, they would choose to do something else. But people are either too lazy, or they don't care, or these are just what they want to do. And the idea of breaking them up, it just seems... It's again, I use the word wrongheaded. It's totally different than the situation with those really essential industries that became monopolies that were broken up. But these are not things that need to be broken up. These are just choices that people are making. And
sure,
it's really troubling that a senator would choose to express her opinion in this way.
So, John, let me just ask you, do you think the government should ever break up companies? Should they have broken up Standard Oil? Are there any examples of breakups that you think are a good idea?
Oh, sure. I mean, those were things that provided services that if people couldn't get them, it's a serious problem for people. You know, if again, with Standard Oil, this was when, you know, cars were starting to come about and all sorts of industry was relying on gas and oil. And if there was no alternative to Standard Oil, I mean, that is a major problem for the country and for people. AT&T, you know, there was no other phone company someone could use. There was no other phone you could use. So people have more choices now than ever before. And absolutely, I do agree that under certain narrow circumstances that companies should be broken up, but certainly not these consumer companies. I mean, if they're breaking laws in their business practice, address that. But just because they've gotten this big and because they've become monopolies in some cases, that's only because consumers want it to be the case. There's enough alternative out there for people that there's just no reason to even have this discussion, in my opinion.
All right, John, thank you very much for that. And I think that Kevin, barring maybe the last few comments about maybe narrow cases where John sees a need to break up, he's saying consumers have choice and let the consumers decide.
Yeah, no, I agree. Again, if you don't want to use Facebook, you don't have to. You're the product on Facebook. You don't like interacting with your friends on there. You don't have to be there. You can go somewhere else or not participate in that aspect of your life at all.
Okay, Karen?
Well, I think I can appreciate your caller's perspective that, you know, if we're talking about non-essential human needs, that's one thing to talk about. The truth is we have enough for everybody to have whatever they like in this society. But I think there are a lot of ways in which people are dependent. I have a couple of points here. The first is it's a little simplistic to say that if you don't want to buy from Amazon, you don't need to buy from Amazon. There are products that are necessary to people's health, for example, that are only available by mail order for people in some rural areas. And so their choices are limited. So a lot of people are low income. So they have to go with the cheapest battery.
Thank God capitalism
allows that. I'm waiting to find out how much that Nick said 30% on the batteries at Amazon. They have 30% that they sell are the Amazon batteries. I'm wondering what their market share needs to be before they price those prices go up and out of reach for a lot of people. But I think the more important point is we're still talking about workers who work in Amazon warehouses under terrible conditions. That is part of the price we pay for allowing Amazon to do what it wants. And I think the other thing that really touched me or made me think about things from what the caller said is, you know, if people don't like Facebook's privacy, they don't have to be on it. And that's true. But the problem is we don't know what they're doing with our data in time to make an informed decision. And that is part of the opaqueness of these corporations that they operate under, that they lobby for, they defend their ability to make these sort of private backroom decisions without any light of day for the regular consumer. I reject the notion of a fully educated consumer. It's baloney. We'll never be educated enough to make those kinds of decisions because everything is done in secret. And so part of the reason that I put out the nationalize it sort of teaser to spark people's thinking is that what the government does, you get to read the board. You get to read the minutes from those meetings. What corporations do behind closed doors, you don't get to read the minutes. If Amazon wants to open up all of their board meeting minutes and all of their emails to scrutiny, let's take a look and see if they're still proud of how they're behaving in the world.
One follow-up for Karen, and I know Nicholas wants to weigh in, but on the subject, Karen, of an educated consumer, okay, I understand what you're saying. Consumers will never have all the information, but by now, consumers are pretty well aware of work conditions, of what workers are paid, and I don't want to speak for the caller John, but he may say, look, if people are still choosing to support a company like Amazon, they're aware of those conditions and they're not willing to do enough to change that.
Well, I think it's interesting because consumers are also voters. They're also just people in the world. So again, by talking about consumers, we're leaving out the large and growing swaths of people who can't buy their way into the marketplace and into the conversation, either because of low poverty wages, lacks of jobs, or high debt, right? So we're already leaving them out. But I think that these people that I talk about as people and not just as consumers are also voters. And if they want to vote for Elizabeth Warren to regulate capitalists, they should vote for Elizabeth Warren to regulate capitalists. There are many, we talk a lot about technology platforms, not my area. There are a lot of platforms for people having a voice. When Amazon tries to shut down those voices, I think they're telling you something about themselves and what they're doing and how they do not want scrutiny because they know that the majority of people are against what they're saying.
I'm going to let Kevin respond in a moment. I know Nicholas wants to weigh in. Go ahead, Nicholas.
Well, so it's interesting to hear someone refer to Standard Oil as an essential resource for the economy because, you know, it didn't start out that way. And Microsoft, you know, the stated objective, for, you know, since at least since the IPO was, you know, a PC on every desk, you know, striving to become essential to the economy has been a stated goal of a lot of these internet companies. And I think what Warren is saying is, you're there. You know, look, you've got all this search, you're aggregating all this data. Google monetizes the data in ways that, to Karen's point, I think if they were more transparent, that would be very illuminating. But I guess I would disagree with his assertion that you can just walk away from doing business with these companies. I don't think that is a true statement.
Yeah, if I decide not to buy batteries from Amazon, like if I exercise that consumerist choice and decide to buy my batteries somewhere else, they're still going to sell surveillance technology to ICE. Like I can't affect as an individual Facebook's decision to sell face recognition technology to the government.
Well, we should vote to eliminate ICE then. There we go. Some we can agree on.
I also think Karen's point about transparency is an important one. I think that is, you know, the simple act of publishing on time departure data for the airlines caused them to improve that metric. And so I think there's actually, from a public policy standpoint, it would be a low cost and in some cases very effective way of getting better outcomes just to force companies to be more transparent about what they're doing.
Actually, I'm very glad you brought up the airlines, because what happened to airlines after we disbanded the Civil Aeronautics Board and deregulated the airline industry during the Carter administration? Well, prices went down, benefits for consumers went up, and we got better air travel because the government got a little bit out of the airline industry.
Yeah, you should review what happened with the 737 MAX before you make bald claims about how a lack of government oversight generates good outcomes.
It's not perfect outcomes, better outcomes. Capitalism doesn't lead to perfection. It's not utopia. I'm not selling that. I'm saying better outcomes.
Okay. So, Nicholas, though, on the subject of whether the big tech is now in that category of sort of vital to the American experience and the American economy, You are agreeing with Elizabeth Warren's assertion there that they should be viewed as sort of that platform utility?
Yeah, I don't agree with the specifics of every single thing in the document, but I'm very sympathetic to the frame. I think it's a really helpful way to view the problem from a public policy standpoint.
And Kevin, when Karen says we are never going to have consumers who have that sort of all-informed decision-making, the power of the consumer, she thinks that's sort of this utopian ideal that is just not reality. What do you say?
Oh, sure. I agree with that. You cannot possibly know everything. And I say the same thing applies to the people that you have in government, too. They cannot possibly know everything. They can't understand every outcome. And they don't know the full impact of the decisions that they make because they're not well-informed enough to be able to do that. They don't know exactly what's going on in every place, in every company, at every time, to be able to make the best decisions. And the default to that is to only get the government involved if there's force or fraud involved in the company's transactions.
All right, back to your phone calls. Bill in Rochester next. Go ahead, Bill. Hi, Bill.
Hi, guys. You know, I think that Warren's argument doesn't appreciate the dynamics of our economy. You know what? 20 years ago, I don't even think Amazon and Facebook were around. 40 years ago, she would have been talking about breaking up GM or Sears, and we see what happened to that. I think the main problem with socialism is it concentrates power in the hands of government and bureaucrats. And you know what? We don't have competition in government. And that's what makes socialism so bad, in my view. And then if we talk about the history of socialism, it has a horrible history. I mean, it's got Lenin, Stalin, Mao, Castro, and other tyrants. And talk about oppressing people. Governments have done far worse to people than any private company has ever tried to do.
So Bill, let me just jump in and say the interesting thing is you're equating the Warren proposal with socialism, and Karen from DSA says she's not a fan of the Warren proposal because it's too capitalist. And Elizabeth Warren herself has said that she views this proposal as the best form of capitalism, an actual regulated capitalism, not a whoever gets the biggest, the fastest dominates for extended amounts of time, whether it's decades or forever. Let's listen to some of what Elizabeth Warren had to say, if we could, about why she views this as the best form of capitalism.
It is not capitalism to have one giant that comes in and dominates, a monopolist that dominates a market. What I have supported all the way through are the kinds of things that help level the playing field. So I think a level playing field says that the big guys have to pay kind of like everybody else does, and they have to pay to help create some opportunities.
But you know, you're getting labeled and you're getting coupled in with a few of your other Democratic contenders as someone who supports socialist ideas. Do we describe you as a capitalist? What's the best way to describe you?
I believe in markets. Markets that work, markets that have a cop on the beat and have real rules and everybody follows them. I believe in a level playing field.
That's Elizabeth Warren defending capitalism, but saying, look, so Bill, she'll point to any mid-sized market. So when you've got mom and pop stores, everybody loves mom and pop stores, right? Small business, the small local hardware store. What happens when Walmart comes in? Well, they are in trouble. And you can say, and I'll let Kevin address this, that you want them to, you know, if they're competitive, if they're innovative, that they can work. But they've got issues with scale, and often they don't get the tax breaks that the big companies do. They don't get massive subsidy. They don't get massive benefits there, which I doubt Kevin does actually favor there. But that's all Elizabeth Warren is kind of saying here. She doesn't want the behemoths to continue to dominate in ways that destroys the small actual competitive markets. She wants real competition, not socialism. You want to add to some of that, Bill? Does that, you listen to her remarks, does that convince you at all?
Well, no, I hear what she's saying, and I'm in favor of more competitive markets, absolutely. But the problem is, at what point does the government decide someone's too big or too successful? I think I'd rather see the market make those decisions as opposed to the government make those decisions.
Yeah, sure.
I think the market can make a better decision than the government because the government can be corrupted by lobbyists and so on.
Sure.
Whereas the market,
sure,
the consumer is the bigger player in the marketplace.
Bill, I appreciate that phone call. And to Bill's question, how does government decide? The Warren plan says $25 billion and multi-platform or sort of multi-function access. So Amazon is the platform, but also the business. It's also the company trying to sell. She doesn't want that to happen.
I'm curious how many people he thinks made the decision to purchase WhatsApp by Facebook. Yeah, I don't think that was a lot of people. You know, that in that concentration of power is part of the discussion that we're having today.
I mean, the difference is that when government does something, it has the ability to use violence and force to do it. But I do want to thanks, Bill, by the way, for that call, because I thought you made some really good points. And I do want to point out that Elizabeth Warren did set criteria, but it doesn't mean that criteria isn't arbitrary, right? And it also means that you're now giving the federal government a new ability to be able to regulate companies that it doesn't like. Now, imagine you have someone who's sitting in the executive branch who may abuse that power, who may go after his political enemies for things like, I don't know, Jeff Bezos, who happens to own Amazon and Washington Post, or Mark Zuckerberg, who he thinks is censoring their voices. Now, imagine you have that guy in the White House. Do you want to give that type of person that type of power?
You mean antitrust legislation? That's not new.
This is going further.
That she's proposed, yes, but it is a law. There is a long history of the U.S. government making these kinds of decisions and sort of following these kinds of
questions. Until recently, there's also been a long history of the president divesting himself of business interests. It's a hypothetical that we've only recently had to start exploring in practice.
But I think Kevin is saying he's concerned about a federal government that has the power to target businesses and create rules that can shift with the parameters to say, that's a political competitor, I don't like that, I'm going to attack that,
yeah.
That you wouldn't put past government to do that.
Yes, and I think that's kind of the good argument for libertarianism, is that we shouldn't leave that power in the hands of someone who's likely to abuse it.
And in 15 seconds, do you want to respond to the Lenin Mao stuff? No.
No, I will say that corporations abuse their power every single day, and Kevin, you have no interest in addressing it in any way. Everybody who's a worker or works for somebody else knows that there are multitudes of tyrants that are taking away our freedoms and our choice every day.
Please don't put words in my mouth.
All right, well, then come back and let's talk more as we continue these discussions. I want to thank all of our guests for being here. You just heard Karen Vitale, who is the co-founder of Rochester's DSA chapter. Thank you for being here. Nicholas Wilt, former principal engineer for Amazon. Thank you, Nicholas. And Kevin Wilson, chair of the Monroe County Libertarian Party. Thank you very much. Short break, more connections coming up.